Fake handoff. He'll throw it on second down. Deep down the middle. Wide open man. Akeem Butler. Over the shoulder catch. It's going to be a Cyclone touchdown.
Has a little moxie about him, doesn't it?
He absolutely does. You saw how fired up his sideline was. And they're going to be elated for this. Purdy to the end zone.
Because, yeah, good's good. But what's elite in the elite moments? Don't tell me what you've done. Go back into the critical moments and tell me what you should have done when you had the opportunity to do it. That's what elite is. That's what warriors do. That's what champions do.
Welcome to the Whitecast.
Welcome, listeners, to a brand new episode of the Wide Right Natty Lightcast. Ooh, what an awful start to my hour of talking here. Happy Feast Week, everybody. We're going to talk all about basketball and Thanksgiving food because that football game, I don't know if we have a lot of good stuff to talk about from Saturday, but let's get into it. I am Austin Keeney. I am hosting and, as always, joined by my co-host, Matt Nelson. Matt, how is your Feast Week going so far? Have you been betting a little ball here the last couple days?
I've been betting a little ball. It's been fun. I've had a chance to watch a good amount of Feast Week as I haven't been feeling all that terrific since Sunday. So it's a benefit to being maybe laid up a little bit, Keeney.
You know what? Out of all the weeks to do it, as long as you can get better by, I'd say, like Wednesday evening, that's not too bad.
That's correct. Yeah, because we got big plans for Thursday.
Yeah, we do. And I feel like this is an annual tradition that we're establishing where we chat a little bit about Thanksgiving itself. But what does the schedule for the Nelson family look like on Thursday?
You know, I'm a big fan of like the 1 or 2 o'clock Thanksgiving, you know, where you can eat later in the day. So I've got to start with skipping breakfast, right? Drink some coffee, get that digestive system humming. No other food though. Don't distract from the main article. Will I eat a lot of deviled eggs? Will I eat a lot of gravy? Will I eat a lot of turkey? Keenan, the answer to all those is yes. And will I pass out flat on my back on the living room floor at like 2:30? Absolutely. No debate.
See, this is what I remember. I remember you're a deviled egg guy. And
oh,
I
big
mean,
time.
Still cannot co-sign over here. I can't do it with deviled eggs. It's not for me at all.
No, we love them.
What about, so are you like a beer before dinner kind of guy on Thanksgiving?
No. Nope.
Nothing at all? Got to keep it pure?
I need maximum stomach capacity, Keeney. Maximum.
Okay.
If I got pants with a stretchy waistband, I'm wearing it.
All right, let's break it down. So, what's going on the plate at mealtime?
Great question by you. I like to do turkey, obviously. A little bit of potatoes, not a ton, but you got to have some. I go a little bit of green bean casserole as well. I'm not a huge fan. I'd almost rather have plain green beans, but I've softened on them over time. Go some corn. So again, heavy turkey. Keeney, I'm also a heavy cranberry sauce guy. Thanksgiving needs some acid, a lot of fats, a lot of starches. It's begging for something to bring a little richness and change up the vibe. And that is what cranberry sauce is good for. So I'm going to go with kind of that homemade ground cranberry sauce. I'll also probably sneak some jellied cranberries in there too. And then Keeney, stuffing. I'm making up for last time with stuffing, man. I did not eat it until I was like mid-20s. Just a terrible, regrettable decision. So I'll be all up in the stuffing and the turkey and the gravy.
Oh, we love to hear it.
What about you, Keeney? I feel like my take on green bean casserole is maybe a little controversial.
I don't, that seems to be like the food that everyone has strong opinions about. I love green bean casserole. I'm not afraid to admit it. So, I mean, we're definitely going turkey. I mean, so I believe my family will be doing the turkey ham combo, actually. So we're definitely going turkey and ham on the plate. Then we've got.
Now, I respect that.
Yeah.
I don't worship at the altar of turkey. Ham is great. If you're having corn and potatoes and gravy, like, I can work ham in there, no problem.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, I think the leftover Thanksgiving ham makes a much better sandwich for dinner than the leftover turkey does. So we're going turkey, ham, green bean casserole, of course, mashed potatoes. I do typically make the mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving. I don't think it will be this year, but we also do a corn casserole, which is delicious. See, I'm, you know what?
I'm doing stuffing squash this year, like a squash casserole.
Yeah, I like stuffing. I like the sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top or whatever. I don't even know what you call that dish. I eat one scoop of it per year, but I always like it. So the thing that will not be on my plate at all, though, is cranberry sauce. So again, Matt, I feel like our families, you know, if we ever had a joint Thanksgiving, you know, wouldn't quite work out well, because I'm not a cranberry sauce guy or a deviled egg guy.
Yeah, two of my favorite things. Now, the deviled eggs, Keeney, they aren't growing on the Thanksgiving plate. That is the one exception where, you know, I will not withhold from eating those. I will absolutely hammer those before the meal starts. So that's the one exception.
Is there such thing as too many deviled eggs before dinner?
No. Nope. Well, the rest of my family would maybe say so for multiple reasons, but for me personally, in my personal record book, no.
All right, and then I'd say one last really important Thanksgiving question is, do we have the Lions game on while we're eating because we have bets on the game?
In our family, no. The Lions game always has to get turned on. Not because it's the Lions either, just, you know, have some time without the football. But after that, trust me, the Lions will be on.
Okay. I'm wondering,
and Keeney, we got Cyclone basketball on Thanksgiving.
We do. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. So we probably should start.
We have so much to be thankful for.
We do. One thing we would be thankful for is a bowl eligible football team, because we're staring at 6-6, I think, in the face. But we should probably talk a little bit about Saturday night. So Iowa State, obviously, home loss to Texas, 26-16. Matt, this game was probably everything I thought it would be, except maybe a little bit worse, because Texas completely on the line of scrimmage, and I think that's really all it came down to. But do you feel any differently?
No, Kenny, I don't know if you saw my tweet after the game, but basically I kind of said how I truly feel. Texas just, they beat us, dog. They won the game. It could have been a blowout. I think a lot of people were kind of fearing that. Obviously, it wasn't, but yeah, they just played a really good game, and it didn't work for the Colts. So I know a lot of people were complaining about, you know, maybe the play calling and starting conservative. I get that, but Texas was just better. They have elite offensive and defensive lines. They have elite skill positions, and I thought more than anything, Keeney, on offense, they were willing to do what a lot of teams aren't against our defense, and that is take 5 yards at a time. All of those short little 5 yard outs to their wide receivers, who are then good enough to break a tackle and fast enough to get upfield for another two or three. That was their offense pretty much all night. And I give them a lot of credit for taking that approach. It worked.
Yeah. I mean, to me, just walking out of the stadium, I was thinking, well, now that I've seen Texas in person, I know that we had to play absolutely perfect in order to win the football game. And we didn't do that. And yet, if you flip a couple of things, if we don't have the blocked extra point that goes back for 2 points, we're in a one possession football game with definitely one of the 10 best teams in the country. So I still think there are some signs for, you know, like some positives to take out of the game. Rocco Becht, again, outside of one mistake, and it's kind of been the common thread against good teams, he's made a couple of mistakes. He threw an interception that was just a poor decision, but in general, I thought Rocco Becht played really well. I thought our receivers did a really good job of just like making plays, and obviously couldn't run the ball at all. But I thought Nate Shieldhouse, you know, people want to talk about the game plan was too conservative. I actually thought he called a pretty dang good game. He knew when to mix things up. He called a couple of, I guess, I don't know what you would call them, just not trick plays, but, you know, plays that got the defense off guard that worked for big gains. So in general, I'm not walking out of this like, oh, this team stinks, you know?
No, I totally agree. Like, there's nothing that we did that you know, should have left you feeling that way, in my opinion. Look, the offense was better in the second half. Again, it's hard, Keeney, when you cannot run the ball because they have just a bunch of dudes on the defensive line. And,
yeah,
you know, you maybe should have gone for it instead of kicking that long field goal. But it was a 6-3 game at halftime, and that didn't cost me anything because you forced a fumble that next possession. So that wasn't a factor. I think Rocco's interception was huge. And just from a vibes perspective, Keeney, the blocked extra point return for a touchdown was an abject disaster, as Ryan Gosling says in The Big Short. Yeah, it was terrible. And playing Juicy Wiggle after that happened is a fireable offense for Mr. PA guy. So not great. If there's one, Keeney, really, if there's one thing to be negative about, the defense didn't tackle the best. And I'm concerned about that, but I really do think what Texas was doing is what we like to give up. We're okay giving you 350 yards if you don't score. Texas hit some big plays, though. That Whittington touchdown was, again, classic misdirection, which is exactly what we did on the Easton Dean touchdown, which, again, where the hell did that come from? It's not like the defense was broken. It looked to me like they just were a little tired in that second half. The first half took a lot out of them, it seemed to me. Excuse me. We just couldn't get the stops we needed to in the second half when it mattered. And the offense couldn't run the ball against that team. No one, you know, I mean, we should have been better than, what, 0.4 yards a carry? That's atrocious. But all the same, you know, you threw the ball okay. You did score some points late. So really, it's the special teams if you have a concern moving forward. But Keeney, they've been great all year. That's really the first time we've seen them let us down.
Yeah, and you're the special teams guy, so you're willing to concede like, hey, we've had a good year. I mean,
yeah, but Keeney, the missed field goal and the extra point did not cost us the game. It was kind of accumulation of a defense that was worn out and maybe didn't play its best game in the second half, an offense that was too anemic in the first half, and some bad special teams plays. That's what caused a lot. Again, they beat us. It wasn't like we did one thing wrong and that's why we lost the game.
So maybe that was the case, but I would also say, like, I believe we should have gone for it instead of kicking the long field goal there. And I'm curious if you felt the same way.
I did, really.
In the moment, were you thinking field goal, or were you okay with, or did you think we should have gone for it?
No, I was fine with field goal. I felt like they maybe should have gone for it, but I wasn't. The game was tight, right? At that point, I was okay with the attempt. Contreras has been good from distance. So it's not like it was a miserable weather game. So it was, Keeney, I don't know if you remember watching, it was a very high snap. The snap was almost over the holder's head.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 3-3 game at the time. I think that's what caused it. So that was, to me, that was a Matt Campbell call. That was not a Nate Shieldhouse is conceding 3 points there call. And
no, I
basically tried to play to the flow of the game. At that point, it looked like points are going to come at a premium, and when you're in field goal range and you have a good kicker, you have to take the shot.
Why not, right?
And, you know, and defense played really, really well in the first half. So I don't have any long-term – I mean, there really isn't such thing as the long-term anymore. You know, we've got Kansas State on Saturday, and then we've got a bowl game, and then we'll put a bow on this season. So, I mean, any other thoughts from Saturday night before we kind of move on? I do have to tip my cap to Texas because they're not back because they haven't won anything yet. They're a really good football team.
They're very good. There's very little doubt about that.
Quinn Ewers, I thought we were going to force him into more mistakes. I thought he played a really clean game.
He did.
We stopped the
ball. He didn't do anything spectacular, but he just did enough to win the game. And again, that's a lot of times where we do best is we kind of force teams to beat us that way, and they did it.
They've got some insane athletes on the outside too. Worthy, my goodness, that guy.
He's a beast, isn't he?
Thankfully, we had a block in the back. Otherwise, I think he would have housed two punts, taking them back for touchdowns. I mean, we got really lucky with that. That guy's a player. So, I guess as we wrap a bow on the Texas and the Big 12 era, I mean, that's the last time we're ever going to play them. Do you have any thoughts on Kansas State on Saturday? Looking like a snow game.
Snow game, correct.
does that work young team, in our favor or not?
No, I think young team, it'll be fun. you know, we've been on, we were on quit watch there once several years ago, the season we lost to Notre Dame in the bowl game. That was a team that had kind of underperformed and just run out of gas. This team is young enough and has enough talent and youth across the field. I don't think they know any better. And Keeney, they played well on the road this year. So I think it's going to be competitive. I'm not sure what the line is, but I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, it was in double digits when it opened. It was like 13.
Oh, that is way number. Too high.
It's kind of all hands on deck. We've really got nothing to lose. Kansas State, I'm not even going to begin to try and figure out how the tiebreaker thing works. I know there's still a scenario where Iowa State could get to Dallas, but realistically, we have nothing to lose. We can just kind of play loose, take chances, get yourself in a good position for a bowl game. We played really well on the road this year. I think Kansas State has a little more of a path to get to Dallas.
I agree.
So, I'm interested to see it. I'm interested to see it. What
we're all caring for is Texas Tech.
This is not, oh, well, yeah, we are, of course, but is it fair to say maybe the weather's been too good this year for football?
Yeah, I could have used it to be like 5 degrees, but you know what? I wouldn't have enjoyed it. I got cold the way that it was. So I'll still take warm November games every time.
I thought the weather in the second half of the game was perfect, but the problem with that is it was perfect for Texas too. And I wanted them to be uncomfortable. Unfortunately, that was just not the case. So should we talk basketball though? Because I think that's the thing everybody wants to talk about right now.
Let's talk hoops, baby.
All right. We're 4-0. By the way, you went to the Grambling State game. I saw, hope you had a good time. It looked like you did.
I did. Took Margaret. We had a great blast. She had a clone cone. Got to hold the cheerleaders pom poms. Got a picture with Sai. She was having a great time.
So, I have to ask, how much of the clone cone did you actually consume?
We went halvesies. I got the cone and a little bit of the ice cream, and Charlotte got a big old bowl of everything else. Or Margaret got a big old bowl of everything else, and she housed it.
All right. So did you take anything away from us beating Grambling State the way that we did?
We wasn't necessarily a dog walking, but it was close. Grambling, I think, Keeney, if you look at KenPom, probably the best team that we've played so far, which that is not saying anything at all. That Keeney, I don't know if it came through on TV. That game was really physical. The refs just did not want to call fouls. It seemed like, you know, this the old sandlot, let's make it a quick game. I got to get home for lunch. That's kind of how it seemed, really. The refs, especially in that second half, just had no interest in blowing the whistle. Grambling was physical, and they had some size. Continue to be amazed, Keeney, to see how this team hustles and like hits the floor and puts their body on the line in your fourth game at home against Grambling State when you're up by 45 points.
Okay, so speaking of Grambling State having size, were you shocked when you saw that Terrence Lewis was on their roster?
Yeah, can we talk about this for a second, Keeney?
I had no idea this guy still had eligibility.
I knew he was at Grambling at one point, but when I heard his name on the jumbo, you know, the PA, I was like, huh. Another Terrence Lewis for Grambling. What are the odds? So I went and checked it. So he played here 17, 18, 18, 19, 20, has registered no stats for the next two seasons, and has played the last two, Keeney, so last season and this year. So in theory, this is his sixth year of college basketball. Why he did not play during those 2 years, I'm sure one of those was the pandemic. So I don't know if he was injured during the other and took a red shirt. But, I mean, what is he, 25 by now?
So T. Lou's out there working on, like, a doctorate at Grambling.
That's correct. Respect for him. Crowd treated him well. He always helped. He helped second players up when they went down. It was nice to see him again. But, no, Keeney, I think Grambling had 4 points until the six-minute mark.
I didn't watch a single second of the game, but what I heard – is that Omaha played a little bit more confident and made a few plays.
Correct, he did. And I think everyone was kind of shocked to see at the start of the game that, you know, Hassan Ward was on a scooter. And my thinking there was that, you know, maybe this will allow some more time to see Omaha play. And turned out that's exactly what happened. And once he got into the swing of things, Keeney, he looked great, doing what we expected him to do. Run the floor, forced some steals, got some rebounds, had a putback dunk that was awesome, had a couple nice cuts from the outside. He's a really good cutter. Still haven't seen him a lot with, you know, his back to the hoop with the ball or kind of initiating his own offense. But, man, if he continues to build at this, he'll be elite at it by midseason. And that's something that this team can really benefit from. So you got to be excited to have that, from him. And I don't know. Skinny, my biggest takeaway was it was kind of the Omaha game, right? His best game of the season. But like I said earlier, we had Grambling in the coffee can. They had a lot of turnovers, a lot of silly turnovers. Our guys were everywhere. They're menaces, man. They're in passing lanes. They're hounding you. They're you know, crashing you hard when you try to drive baseline. They're abandoning shooters. Like, we're chaotic. We cannot be fun to play for opposing teams. And now you have this much depth and you can rotate guys. We're going to be a challenge for people to figure out this year.
Well, I'm interested to talk about this now, because that challenge is about to, I guess the challenge for Iowa State is about to increase by quite a bit. You mentioned that Grambling is the best team we've played so far. Well, on Thanksgiving Day, that's going to change. So we are in the ESPN Events Invitational down in Mickey Mouse World. We are playing VCU in this Mickey Mouse tournament in the first round.
Will LeBron be there at this Mickey Mouse tournament?
He might be accepting a bubble championship of some kind.
That's right.
This is a side note. I think the Lakers are going to win that in-season tournament. So LeBron can claim like a quarter of a ring there. But anyway.
A quarter of a ring.
We are playing what some would consider a real team, even though I think VCU already lost to somebody not good. But we want to talk about the ESPN Events Invitational. So you challenged me to do a little research. You did a little research yourself. So, Matt, let's talk about our side of the bracket.
Yes. So, Kenny, I've done research. I had the preview for our first opponent, the Rams of Virginia Commonwealth. Kenny, full disclosure, I've made it well known on this podcast before. Dylan Kuhn would love it, our former co-host. You know what conference I stay in, Kenny? Always have and always will?
We'll talk about it in March, I'm sure.
The A-10.
So this is like advanced scouting for the A-10 tournament that you're going to watch in the first week of March, right?
Oh, my gosh. Keeney, what do I say?
Less about Iowa State basketball, more about VCU.
It is one of the best, just I'll put the plug in now, one of the best conference tournaments you can watch, especially when you have, you know, teams like our Richmond Spiders, Keeney. You know, very close friend of the podcast, Richmond Spiders. I think you probably know why that is, Keeney. Anyways, so VCU last year made the tournament. They actually, Austin, they were 27-7. Won the conference tournament. They were an excellent team. Lost in the round of 64 to St. Mary's in the dance. But good program and a good league. Obviously, I've always been soft on Keeney. That year they made the Final Four out of the play-in. I actually had them in the Elite Eight in that bracket because I had watched the A-10 tournament. I was like, wow, this team could do something. So. Currently this year they're top 100 in KenPom, 98. And Keeney, you know, at this time of the year, right, a lot of those rankings are based on the year prior. They're 3-1. They did lose at home to McNeese State. Not a very good loss, but they actually kind of have a sneaky resume, Keeney. They basically played four teams that are all picked to win their respective leagues, like the Southland and the SWAC. So they've actually, you know, they played four nobodies like we have, but they've actually played some good nobodies. That said, I think this is just a bad matchup for them. Despite playing those, you know, smaller conference teams, they're only averaging 68 points a game. Keeney, they're turning the ball over almost 15 times a game. And that's more than they're assisting. Their three-point percentage is also pretty paltry. It's less than 30%, 28.1. Not a great offensive team. They're good defensively. They're 60th in adjusted D, but they're 176th in adjusted offense. So I think this is a great matchup for Iowa State, Keeney. I think they're going to turn the ball over a lot. I think we're going to force turnovers pretty easily. The interesting matchup, I think, is that they do like to attack a little bit more. They've got a decent post in Christian Furman. But I mean, he's averaging 7-7, so not like a ton of production. There's just not a lot of points to go around. They basically have only two guys averaging over 10 points, and another four or five in that 9-5 range. So they have one really good shooting guard, Max Shugla. He is shooting 43.5% from the year. I think, Kenny, what our defense likes to do, though, is let you take threes. And if they're not going to make them, that combined with their turnover rate should give Iowa State an advantage in this game. The size is going to be overwhelming, and I think we're deep enough and athletic enough that we can match up with them really quite well. So I think it's a win for them in the first game, don't you?
I mean, my extent of what I know about VCU is what you just told me. So I'm going to say this better be a win for those of you so inclined. KenPom has us projected to win by about 11 points, 83% win probability. So well, I'll put it this way. Be really disappointed if we don't win this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think that's maybe, they're top 100 KenPom teams. They're not bad. They're a decent to good team, but I think that says more about Iowa State and the way that we've seen them play so far. If they put stress on any point, Keeney would be, you know, maybe if Rob Jones gets in foul trouble with them attacking the rim without Hassan Ward, that's maybe the one point of concern. But with Omaha, Trey King, and, Caden Fish, maybe not being super tall, but at 6'7 and a lot of weight, having the size to play down low, I still think they have three other bodies they can put down there.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a big Bob Jones tournament. And
I think so.
I don't know if that makes people excited or not.
It makes me excited. Let's kind of round out the rest of the bracket. So we would play the winner or loser, I guess, of Boise State and Virginia Tech. So just kind of some quick blurbs from Action Network when I was kind of going through what they say about them. Boise State's pretty fun. Well-balanced team. They're top 80 in adjusted offense and in adjusted defense, but no one's really sure what to make of them. They beat San Francisco, who's a top 100 KenPom team, but also had a pretty bad loss that they took to Clemson. Max Rice is a good player. So is Cam Martin. They kind of do a little bit of everything, but they're not necessarily great at any one thing. I think it's that type of team that Iowa State could actually do very well with. I think, Keeney, we've seen with TJ, we really struggle with teams that kind of have a very specific style that doesn't play well with what we do, but they seem kind of amorphous. They're also they're not good at all in the offensive glass. So, rebounding is such a key for this team. If they rebound well against Boise State, I think they'll have a chance. And then there's the Hokies, which are a totally different team. They're really good offensively, shoot really well, 37% from three, almost 60% from inside the arc. Last year they let teams shoot, this year the teams are shooting 35%+ from three. And Keeney, they're kind of unique because they play no defense, none. Opponents are shooting almost 38% on them from deep. They're 125th. And adjusted D, team shoot threes at like a 40% attempt rate. So if there's a weakness there, I think that Iowa State hasn't been lights out from three. But I got to think this team will be better than it was last year. So I think you've got to enjoy that matchup too, right? If a team – we're gonna play really good defense, and if a team is not going to play defense at all, we should be able to score. So that's the other side of the bracket. Keeney, I don't know what you looked into about the north side, but I want to see what you've got prepared.
Yep. So, I feel like I'm kind of taking a quiz here in school, but I did have a little bit of opportunity to look at the other side of the bracket. So let's start here. The headliners are Florida Atlantic and Texas A&M. So I think Texas A&M is clearly the best team on that side of the bracket. And if you're kind of projecting where we hope Iowa State could be, You think of like a championship game opponent that is most likely to see us, it would be Texas A&M. They are 17th in KenPom, top 30 in both offense and defense. They have a terrific point guard, Wade Taylor the fourth. So if we do match up with them, it should be really a great opportunity to watch Taman Lipsey go up against, frankly, one of the best point guards in definitely in the SEC, maybe in the entire country. He's 17 points, 5 assists a game. They have actually, and he's not shooting the ball well yet at all this year, and they've actually proven themselves a little bit. They went on the road and beat Ohio State, who, I mean, we think the Big Ten's not good, but going on the road and winning against a power conference opponent is nothing to nothing to look past here early in the season. The thing that I'm really interested in, I'm trying to learn a little bit more about, is Florida Atlantic. So obviously the darlings of March last year, went to the Final Four, brought back, I mean, literally everybody and their head coach. This is a team that finished in the top 20 of KenPom last year, and through three games this year, they're sitting at about 50th. I'm trying to figure out what is different from last year to this year, because they are still ranked in the AP poll. They just lost to Bryant.
Yes, Bryant.
Yeah, Bryant. Really bad loss. I mean, it looked like just kind of everything went wrong for him, but I'm not sure if it's too early and the metrics are all just thrown off. And I really wish I would have looked before they played Bryant, see where they were. But yeah, they're sitting all the way down at 49th in KenPom now and struggling on offense a little bit. Their guys, they have a great backcourt, though, so it'd still be a really interesting matchup for Iowa State. The other two teams over there, Penn State and Butler. Penn State, ironically, has VCU's coach from last year and their point guard. So I think it's very unlikely that we see them. They're playing A&M. I think A&M is going to beat them up pretty good. Butler, yeah, I got nothing for you about Butler. But FAU and A&M, I think, would be a terrific semifinal. And Texas A&M is the team I would most want to see Iowa State play. I think that'll be our best measuring stick for what kind of team are we right now. So,
Akini, from what I know, I've watched A&M a little bit. I've actually watched Butler a little bit as well.
Yeah, I got that for you, Butler. I saw they played some cream puffs and got beat up by Michigan State. So
that's correct.
That's what A&M's, I got.
Penn State will not give A&M much of a fight, I don't think. They have not been shooting the ball all that well, but they're just really well-rounded team with a lot of talent. Butler's fun, Keeney, simply because they have a guy named Posh Alexander. It's a great name. And they're pretty good defensively. If FAU struggles on offense like they did in that game against Bryant, I think they only scored like 50 points in that game. It would not shock me if Butler actually beats FAU. That's one I'd maybe at least bet him to cover. If FAU struggles on offense and Butler's good on defense, I think that's also possibly an under game, because I think FAU's defense is very good too. But yeah, I agree. That's kind of how I see it going as well.
So one more stat I wanted to throw out there about A&M. They play glacially slow on offense.
Really?
They are one of the slowest teams in the country when it comes to tempo. So Iowa State has been, I mean, level of competition, obviously, but it seems like we've been a little bit more eager to get out and run, do stuff in transition, playing a team that's going to be extremely deliberate when they have the ball, and really try and play the game at their pace would be an interesting matchup. Interesting wrinkle for Iowa State as well.
That is interesting. I think I'd be curious to see how this team would respond to playing a team with a tempo like that, Keeney.
I mean, when all said and done, I think, I mean, I know we're biased because we're Iowa State fans, but like, if we don't make it to the championship game, it tells me something went really wrong when I look at this tournament, you know?
I tend to agree. I do think there's a chance that, you know, Boise and Virginia Tech are fringe tournament teams that could be a little bit better than we were expecting. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a kind of a learn about your team situation, right? If we think we have three, you know, three, four, five seed potential in March, this is not going to, you know, not going to guarantee that you get there, but will be a really good measuring stick. And really, Keeney, between Horberg and Otzelberger, they've been very good at these types of tournaments. So I expect them to play well.
Yeah. I mean,
I expect to be watching them in the championship Saturday night, just like you.
Yeah. So that's a Saturday night final. They'd be at the same time as
yes.
Kansas State game.
Well, that's knowing, yeah, knowing our luck, exactly the same time.
That'd be a real dilemma. I'm remembering last year when the men and the women both played in championship games of their preseason tournaments at the exact same time.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. I'll pull up the time for that bracket. Give me 1 second.
All right.
Continue.
Yeah, continue. So Milan Momcilovic, have we settled on a nickname for him yet?
Oh, man, I still like Momchili, but Kenny, I was wrong. Sunday championship game, 1 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, at the same time.
So they don't. They actually don't play on Saturday. All last round games are Sunday.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And the Bears and the Vikings play on Monday night. So, and the Lions and the Packers play on Thanksgiving. So really, if you're an NFL fan around here, pretty good chance you're going to be watching Iowa State on Sunday instead of the NFL.
Yeah, what a run of sports for us.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you, we should probably talk a little bit about some of the other Feast Week activities going on this week. So what other tournament are you keeping your eye on? Because I know you're the kind of guy who really likes to dive into these tournaments.
Yeah, it's really a good chance to see some of these teams you've heard a lot about. Kenny, you've been watching the Maui Beach Invitational.
Maui is unbelievable this year.
Yeah, terrific field, Kansas, and have they tipped off yet? Kansas is supposed to go at it here shortly with Marquette.
Very good chance that the championship game of that tournament will be number one versus number two in the AP poll, Kansas and Purdue tomorrow.
Which is just going to be wild. Also was watching a little, what's the name of it? It's going on in Florida. Sunshine Slam is one I watched a little bit of. As well as the Cancun Challenge. Yeah, there's another one that Colorado and Florida State, you know, Colorado's a top 25 team. So I tuned in because I was curious to see, you know, what they would look like. Keeney, I had a bad beat in that game today. I bet the under, and it was going to go under, or the Sunshine Slam should have gone under by a mile, and instead it goes to overtime and goes over. Tough beat.
That's the thing. That's the thing about these tournaments. They're just such a wild card. You don't know. That's why betting on them is so frustrating and also just so much fun.
No, I agree. Okay. Speaking of betting, should we watch out of here?
Did you watch any of the tournament that Drake played in? I saw that they had a game earlier today and won.
Yeah, I maybe had a little bit of a spite bet on Akron to win that game outright. They ended up obviously losing by 20. So Akron's a good team. That's a nice win for Drake.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe you just said something nice about Drake. So
I know, right? Hey, how about Tyrese Haliburton? Should we talk about that before we go?
We can definitely touch on that real quick. I sneaky think if you're going to be betting the in-season tournament for the NBA, if you're looking for a team to take a flyer on to win, that's you're going to get good numbers on them. It's the Pacers. So I think they are confirmed going to be in the final eight. I haven't seen the odds update. I saw they were like 14-1 about a week ago to win that thing. I think in a one-game setting, their offense with Haliburton, I mean, they could do anything. They scored 157 points tonight on this Tuesday as we record this podcast.
Yeah, I think highest NBA over ever, and it went over by 56 points. That's a big, big, big number.
Yep. I mean, oof. How about rivalry weekend in football? Let's hit that real quick. Michigan, Ohio State. I'm sure we'll talk about it when we talk gambling here in a little bit, but do you have any initial thoughts?
Yeah, what a fun weekend. I think Michigan has basically just turned into a Sith Lord, so cheer for them. think they can win that game. I still don't trust Ohio State. TCU, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech, Texas are both very fun games. I will be watching both. Obviously, there's implications there for those two trying to get to the title game and then leaving the league. So that'll be really fun to watch. Katie, we've got quite a few rivalries. We've got Thanksgiving evening Egg Bowl with a scuffling Mississippi State team who's trying to get to bowl eligibility. That could be, you know, prime spot for shenanigans.
The Devil
Egg Nebraska Bowl is somehow favored by 2.5 at home against Iowa.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to you about that one. Another historic over-under for
I love it. For that team. What else do we have? Missouri, Arkansas. That's fun. We've got, what is, they still call it the Civil War? Oregon State, Oregon. I think they have a different, now it's called the Platypus Cup. That's right. Stupid. Oregon probably kills them because it's in Eugene, but that's a very fun game. Kentucky, Louisville always leads to hilarity. Texas A&M LSU isn't juicy anymore, unfortunately, now that Jimbo has taken his massive wad of cash and been frog marched out of town. Arizona State, fun one. Arizona State's really got a lot to play for. Really just a nice final weekend. I mean, Virginia Tech, James Madison, Coastal should be fun. We've got the Apple Cup. Again, not as usually. Washington State's really struggled down the stretch, but that one has possible fun potential. Clemson at South Carolina feels like they could lose that game. North Carolina, NC State, just lots of fun games on the schedule.
Yeah, it's like sports sensory overload this week. All right, last really question is. before we end this podcast. I feel like I've asked you this before, but I need to know. Matt, is your Christmas tree up in your house right now?
Austin, it is not. I've had my good Christmas man. Lights up, but they're not turned on. They will not be turned on until we get home on Sunday.
All right. And for some reason, I thought you were a put the tree up early guy.
Love Christmas, but I have rules.
I have rules too. I have rules, but also happy wife, happy life. So my tree went up on Sunday.
You know what? You're a smart man. Don't question that.
That is me talking down from the tree being up on like October 15th. So, you know, we do what we can.
Beautiful.
But if you're listening, tree should go up the day after Thanksgiving. I had a fun argument about this at work today about Christmas being a season and Thanksgiving being a holiday. And the Christmas season starts the day after Thanksgiving and ends on Christmas Day. Still a season. So there you go. There's me being just a total Scrooge as we end this podcast. Big week though for Iowa State. I'm excited to see what happens. And Matt, I'm excited to talk to you next week about what happens when we're celebrating another win on the road in Farmageddon and a tournament championship. How about that?
That's right. And then, you know, from there, Keeney, we're going to lead right into bowl season, which you know as well as me is my favorite time of year. And Keeney, if you're last fun note on, you know, when your Christmas season is, just a fun little plug. If you're Catholic guys like us and you follow the Advent calendar, you actually get bonus Christmas on into January. So just one of the fun perks we enjoy.
All right. Well, there you go. Extra Christmas. Who could be upset about that? All right. Matt, good podcast.
Great stuff. What a fun week of sports. I always love these Thanksgiving tournaments and I love to watch Iowa State in them. So let's string together a few wins.